That's,
point of order.
I don't know. Okay. So.
Somebody else want to get on the staff?
Somewhere
yeah,
that decision was made. Okay.
Yeah, and I think, you know, next time around, I think it's a very simple answer, which is, let's get the candidate booklets, let's get them laid out and ready to rock, and try to make them small enough to fit in the kind of package that won't kill you with postage. It's just, that's the kind of thing that is normally, you know, it's not a problem. It's one of those things that sometimes people, you know, clients do and sometimes they don't. We do that all the time.
There's another question on that. When it was done, I believe, in a bad way that cost us extra printing, in a sense, because what was printed also was the staff statements, which shouldn't have been in with the listener statements.
Correct.
And, you know, there's 100,000 listener members. There's, you know, just a few hundred staff members. So,
sure. I got no problem with that.
Okay. I don't know where that decision was made either, but
I don't either. And I can tell you, you know, from my perspective, it doesn't matter because we can print these things in ballot type order anyway. We can print them in either ballot type order, zip code order, ballot type, and then zip code order. It doesn't matter to us. So, you know, being able to insert the right thing with the right ballot is no big deal. And if it's, 10 different candidate booklets versus 5, again, doesn't really make any difference to me.
Right.
And I'd just as soon do it the most efficient, least costly way that is doable.
All right. I have one other question for
yes.
you.
Which
relates to something you said a minute ago about the delay for the West Coast.
Yeah.
It was my understanding that the ballots for Berkeley didn't go out of the mail place for about 10 days after the other ones.
That may well be true.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was, as the booklets were produced, they were going to the mail house. The mail house was inserting and then mailing out. So that what ended up happening was, and apparently the size of the booklets was such that it slowed down the process of inserting them into the envelopes. There wasn't a lot of room in those envelopes after the...
I don't understand why it would take 10 or 12 days more to... You know, all the other ones went out right away and then...
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. The first ones went out...
But ours didn't go out till...
That's probably true. I don't have the dates in front of me. The second part of your statement is probably true. The first part where you said that all of the other ones went out right away isn't true. They went out in a series as they were being done. They went to the mailhouse. The mailhouse inserted them and mailed them. It took them, you know, a couple of days each.
Yeah, I have a point of information question here, John.
I believe
I'm on the stack. Yes, about the mailing house. Do you hire the mail house? Or
yes.
Yeah. That was my question.
Yes, yeah. We've been working with them for 10 years.
Uh-huh, okay.
Here's the answer to that, because somebody went on or off. The question, do you hire them or don't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're a subcontractor of ours. We've been working with them for 10 years.
I'd like to one thing to that.
Madam Chair? At some point, I'd like to be recognized before you or anyone else is allowed to speak. I asked to be on the staff.
Yes, Richard, have you...
Richard finished. You interrupted, and I...
Excuse me, Richard.
Oh, please.
With your question?
No, I wasn't finished. I have one follow-up with that.
All right, sorry for the interruption.
The other about the mailing issue is that wouldn't it make sense if you're doing this from back east and you've got to mail stuff to Houston, L.A., and Berkeley to mail them first if you're going to use, you know, just so that they have farther to go.
Yeah, sure.
So Washington, New York, are, you know, could almost be hand delivered. I mean,
what's your question? Yes, it would.
Well, why wasn't it done that way last time?
Because nobody suggested it, and because that's not the way they came from the printer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Never mind. All right, next question.
Serene.
Thank you. I wanted to say a while back, because it seems to me that that John is on the call because of the expertise he has and that we already know the history. We know what went wrong. So to simply rehash so we can once again go into an attack on Mostyn and the other election supervisors is not the best use of his time or of committee members' time. We know what the problem was. We know that a decision was taken to not include it, that the board, in fact, voted to include it, that that decision was made in October at the board meeting in Maryland, and the ballots and everything flowed from there in terms of the delay in mailing. We know that. So there's no need to rehash it just so people can get another shot off at people we already know they don't like because they've attacked them repeatedly on the calls.
I'm going to object to the attack on another member, Serene. Please moderate your language a little bit.
I want to make a point of personal privilege.
I would like to speak without interruption.
You're insulting my integrity. I asked some very simple...
I don't know anything about your integrity. I know that we all know the history. It's in the report. It's in the emails. It's there. We already know it.
The discussion is really a bit out of order because...
I would like to...
John is here.
Will the chair please make order, please?
I'm asking the Serene not to moderate her style and her question. Serene, if you have a question to ask John, please go ahead.
Yes, and I would urge the committee members not to waste, you know, any more time on rehashing old...
Serene,
things.
You're out of order.
My question to Mr. Slidell.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you so much. Are you familiar with the MEMSIS system?
With which system?
MEMSIS. It's the database that we use.
No, I'm not, and I'm not familiar with the system, and I don't know whether or not it uses a proprietary database, but that's not really a critical issue because I'm sure that you can output your data to what's called an ASCII flat file, something that we could then import into any other commercial database. So the answer is no, but I'm not sure that it makes a huge difference in terms of what we might do for you.
Okay, and just generally, can you describe your deduping process? And also, what you mean by a longevity study, what you'd be looking for, that sort of thing.
Yeah, a deduping process, this is one of these things where we would do it or we would see what we could find. There is software available that does deduping, and what it does is it looks for a number of factors, and you take a number of parameters and say, look, if X number of these parameters match up, I want to look at them, and then I can make a determination as to whether or not they really are duplicates. If a last name and an address show up, you want to look at them. So there's a certain amount of that where somebody could say, okay, here is your list of people that we think are potential duplicates. Check them out and let it, and deal with your database accordingly. It's something I'm actually surprised that you all don't do. Generally, anyway, it's not a difficult process. And then the second, that's what would be ours. And the second part of that goes along with address matching and correction, where you can also pick up some of those duplicates with address matching and correction,
which is standard postal stuff.
I'm not sure that was one of the big issues last time around. I think there's another issue that was raised, and I don't know how big an issue this is, which was one of whether or not someone had gone into the database, added or deleted records, at least on a significant basis. And that was the second thing that I was talking about, which is a longitudinal study, which is something where you would simply take your database and output it to a flat file every so often so that you can get a baseline of exactly what you can expect for activity. Now, I don't know in Pacifica how much activity takes place around the membership drive. I'm sure there's quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But you'd like to have some sort of a baseline idea of what is happening with your membership list just to know whether or not there have been, an unusual number of changes in it, so that at least then you would have a sense of understanding what was going on with your data, if that's the issue that you have with it.
Okay.
And again, I'm not sure, but I think it's one of those things. That's one of the things we could do for you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. In terms of the election itself, I'm, I know that Pacifica has one of the most unique governing bodies that I've run across. It is a real interesting whole culture that belongs with Pacifica, and it's one of the things that I think A is very interesting, but B is what makes the politics of your organization an interesting thing. It's for me, I'm in an election administrator's role, so I want to be outside of your politics. I don't want to be a part of the political process, except to the extent that I'm administering an election. So that when push comes to shove at the end of an election, I can say, "Look, it is what it is. This is, you know, I'm not part of the process. I'm not, you know, pulling for one party to win or lose, and I don't make the decisions in terms of the methodology, which is already." Set forth, I think, pretty well in your bylaws. But I'm the guy that can say, okay, this is the data that was given. Here's everything that we did transparently. There is no trust aspect of this. Here is everything that you can verify. This is the answer to the election question. Here are the people that did, you know, that won, lost. Using the system that you use, which is the single transferable vote system, and for those of you that you know that showed up and watched us conduct the tabulation at the various locations, you know there is a very high confidence factor, or there should be anyway, in the results because we were able to demonstrate them in front of the people who were watching us tabulate the election, and we committed it all to the digital medium and distributed it as necessary.
Mary Berg, I have another question.
Yes.
Because as we've said, many people didn't get a ballot. I was one of them. Replacement ballots were sent out first class.
Yes.
My first class ballot came with return address of True Ballot, SCIU, election number so-and-so, and it was election number so-and-so was where it was addressed. Had I not been on the election committee and been quite familiar with the name True Ballot, I would, of course, have thrown that away or sent it back, because I'm an unpaid person in the first place, but anyway, our union is CWA, not SCIU, and it had a slogan. It had a little thing on it saying, "Don't forget to vote in elections and number so and so by such and such." How did that come to happen? I found out that there were numerous, and that was, you know, a whole bevy of ballots were mailed as if they were SEIU in SEIU envelopes.
Yeah,
how did
I'm
that
not
happen?
Sure that I'm going to say a whole bevy, but I am familiar with it, and that's one of those things that causes me a great deal of embarrassment. One of the new people in our office decided that any old envelope would do when they sent out one day's worth of ballots, and it was indeed a very distressing thing to learn. And what we've done is we have decided that assuming we were to run this election again, we would simply have one person who is responsible for this election. And that way, nobody will get mixed up. It's a funny thing because we, you know, all of our elections have election numbers, and all the election numbers are printed on both on every piece that goes out. And so I'm not sure how that occurred, since anybody who could see it would have said, "Oh, gee, these numbers don't match up." But, you know, people make human errors.
Okay.
And any other questions for John?
Yes. It's Richard again.
Richard,
just one other follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead, Richard.
I couldn't all of a sudden cut out. It's a silly little question, but I just have to ask. Did we get billed for those ones that were sent out, in those SEIU envelopes?
We didn't bill you for a whole lot of stuff.
Okay. Thank you.
We didn't?
No, there were we didn't bill for quite a number. In fact, I think, you know, I don't recall. There was It's hard for me to discuss some of these things because some of it I just don't recall well enough in terms of what we did, but I believe some of the, when we realized that we had made a mistake, I believe that we sent them out duplicates again in the correct envelopes, but I'm not sure. So,
well, I didn't get one, so.
Well, please accept my personal apology.
It was just, there were quite, I had some figures on it because I took a little sample of all the people I knew of who had replacement ballots, and about at least the ones I talked to, there was at least 30% and maybe 40%.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah, it is conceivable. It only happened for one day, so I'm not sure how that occurred, but it only did happen for one day. So, until I realized what was going on now. In terms of, there are a couple of things. There were a lot of things we did not charge for, and that was. I think we did not charge for quite a number of the duplicate ballots that were sent out. That were sent out wrong. We're not.
Carolyn, this is Ted. I have a question.
Yes, Ted, go ahead.
How much money was spent on workers to run the counting of the ballots?
I don't believe any. I think that was all done by volunteers.
No.
I mean,
not.
We didn't hire anybody.
Yeah, you had your people, and the volunteers were doing things like get people in the chairs and give them the papers to fill out if they were registering at the same time and such. But you had two people, at least in Berkeley.
Those are our people.
Is that your question? How much did you charge to count the ballot? How much did TrueBallot charge?
Or how much
did they hire? Did they have to hire additional help?
Yeah, we didn't hire any additional help.
I'm not sure what Ted's question is. Yeah. If I'm trying to get a clarification.
Okay. Well, your answer is better than my question. Your answer is that volunteers can be utilized to do the process of running the stuff through the machines.
Well, no. Here's what the answer is: yes and no. They could, but I prefer that I do that because the most important thing that we had volunteers doing, which we had in all places, was doing the registration of the incoming ballots and then removing the contents from envelopes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that takes the most labor, and it's the thing that we can really use help with. And we used all volunteers for all of that everywhere.
I am sure that's not the case in Houston, and Melinda can either corroborate or leave this gray.
No, I'm pretty sure because I was at every site. And I don't believe anybody got hired unless the local station hired people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is Carolyn, if I may interject. I know in our first election, Philbot Winnick did hire some temp help because we didn't have enough volunteers.
But I was at every election, and I'm fairly certain that they were all volunteers.
Well,
we didn't hire anybody. Uh-huh. We didn't hire anybody, but we didn't do. But your people did the scanning, which
we had always done
our own stuff like that.
Yeah, that was me. Well,
it took a fair while to scan all those ballots, and that was we weren't allowed to have volunteers do that.
Yeah, I have another question, John, if I may.
And I'd like to get on the stack.
This is Richard. Can I make one comment about that process?
Go ahead.
I just want to say the previous year, the first election, the first LSB election in Berkeley, we did all of that with volunteers,
right,
supervised by the local election supervisor, and we didn't spend any money at all.
That's correct.
Yeah. And I don't think you spent any money the last time either, but, you know, I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Point here, if I may, yes, Serena, you'll get on the stack, but I wanted to ask a question first.
I think John missed my point.
Mm-hmm,
we did
so
the calculating with the computer by volunteers also. In other words,
any of your staff.
Hey, Mary, please, excuse me. Richard, can we go on the stack, please?
Anyway.
And if you've got a way to do it, do it yourself, and you don't need a third party to assist in your election, then I don't know why you would hire one.
John, let me ask you a question. Terry made the point that I think for the first election, his preference would have been to train the local supervisors to do the counting, and have them train volunteers if necessary. Now, that's more than just a cost-cutting measure for us. It's also an outreach effort and an attempt to really use volunteers as much as possible. Would it be possible for you to do that in such an election, to train the local election supervisors to do the counting and have them have their own staff rather than True Ballot being present and physically doing the counting?
Well, here's the issue on that. Is when you say doing the counting, do you mean a hand count?
No. Run the machine. Run the software.
Well, the software. It's a hardware software integration, and the question is, whose hardware and software do you want to operate? I mean, do you want the volunteers basically to operate our hardware and software?
No, the election supervisor would do the counting and.
What does that mean? The election supervisor would do the counting. They would operate hardware and software?
In New York, that is what Phil Butwinick did. He trained a few people who
Whose hardware and software
savvy.
Did they use?
They used STV software. I think Terry Berishus provided the software.
How
did you get the data that get fed into the Choice Plus software?
We got the Choice Plus software, the use of it.
How did you get the data?
Yeah,
they have people
the
punching in the information. It's
yeah,
very
well,
different.
You know what?
We have a system. We do it.
Mm-hmm. Here's my question is, it depends on what's most important for you. The answer, if you do it that way, then the accuracy of what you've done is going to be, in my mind, would be suspect because you've got a significant amount of human error and you have no way really to check it. There's no way to really audit the accuracy of what you've done. If your aim, and this is why I said at the beginning of my discussion, you know, it depends on what your priorities are. If your priority is to have a group effort go on and build community, then no. Why would you ever use a third party election administrator? If your primary objective, however, is to get an accurate count and a secret ballot election, well, then I wouldn't do it that way.
Good. That's what I wanted, your opinion on that particular issue, because we did do it that way once, and then the next time, of course, we used you. So
here's my question for you.
I'd like to be on the staff.
Here's my question for you, back to you, is do you know whether or not the count that you did first time around was accurate?
I would like to speak to that.
Yes, Mary, go ahead.
I'm sorry. At some point, I'd like my response.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mary,
Serene
was ahead of you. Serene, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Mary.
I didn't mean to, Serene. I didn't know
no,
you were
No, Mary, you're the least of the offenders. Carolyn and Richard were both after me, but spoke before me. We're talking to John, I would think, about the process that we used in the last election.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why we're asking him questions about the previous election where he wasn't a part of. That was a very labor-intensive process. It required three people. I think they try to pick people from various, you know, loyalties or whatever the case is, to sit and, you know, agree about what they saw and then enter that data. And, you know, it requires how many ever computers and how many hours and so forth. It was actually very labor-intensive. This process called openly, at least I can speak to what happened in New York. We called openly for volunteers. We announced the location. People showed up. We had teams of people where anyone who objected to particular people working, we agreed, resolved those issues before anyone sat down, or if someone had an objection, someone was removed from a table, moved to a different table. People decided they weren't part of things, they were part of things, whatever. But it was very open. Anyone could observe it. All the envelopes were open. You scanned, you opened, you removed this, you removed the checks, and then the ballots themselves were flattened and turned over to True Ballot for scanning. And that process, too, the scanning and then the calculation were clearly witnessed by, you know, anyone who walked in. You didn't even need an ID to be present. You didn't need to identify yourself to be present. So I think, with all due respect to people who have issues they'd like to raise about how things might have been done in one or another place 2 or 3 years ago, that's not what we have the man on the call to discuss. So let's discuss the process that was used in this election. The idea that we would actually use volunteers to examine the ballots and to code the ballots. It would seem to me, in the atmosphere of suspicion and that some people thrive on, you know, on bolstering and expanding every nook and cranny of Pacifica, that the last thing we want is someone who can then be accused of being partisan to be involved. So if we have a third party, they come out, they scan the ballot, they don't know anyone, they don't have a dog in the fight, if you will. I love animals, but, you know, whatever the phrases you Americans use to cover that sort of thing. And
don't call me dirty names.
American?
Yeah.
North Americans, let me be specific, you USA people.
I'm a Californian. Hey, wait a minute.
And, you know, and that way we have that level of acrimony removed from the
process. I am a Texan. Now, let's not go there.
Hey, Mary, I think you were next on the search and then Richard.
Yeah, I take Serene's point, and it was more labor-intensive in a way, but as to being accurate, the thing about the scanning, that questions had been raised across the country about the accuracy of optical scanning, and our method, it may have been more labor-intensive, but I would say that it was very damn accurate. We had three people, one to observe, one to do the entry, and one to, and everybody certified their results. And one to read them out. And we did have a way of checking them afterward. They were all bundled up and numbered and coded so that at any given, you could have gone back and audited any part of it.
You know,
so,
excuse
me.
Why are you interrupting her all the time?
I'm sorry. It was me interrupting her. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, yeah. So my question is that There was questions raised about the accuracy of optical scanning. As I say, it was against the background of notorious scandals with voting machines all across the country. So,
yeah, well, wait a second. I mean, because I actually know something about that, which is optical scanning is the most accurate. It is the touch screens that are the least accurate.
Right.
And the question really is one of auditing what you do by scanning optically. Our system allows us to do that. And if you were in, particularly if you were in L.A. or Berkeley, you got a real good look at it. But it comes back to this, which is, look, if doing it the way you did it years ago was satisfactory to you, then I don't know why you're even speaking to a third-party election administrator about running it. The reason that you hire somebody like us is because it's too big, it's too complicated, or it's too contentious. And you know, yours can be very contentious, but it's also pretty complicated and it's pretty large.
Mm-hmm.
If those things aren't present for you, or if you say to yourself, gee, I don't need, it's not too large for me to do, and it's not too complicated for me, and I can certainly handle the contention. I don't know why you'd be hiring a third party at all.
Okay, well taken. I think we have time for one more question. Richard, you were on the stack, and then...
Well, I guess I want to say thank you for coming, and I would say I was there in Berkeley when you guys were there, and I appreciated the way you had the thing set up so we could, you know, observe what was going on, and that was very instructive, and I thought, you know, the process went quite well. I think it's just a matter of trying to balance out here, you know, which way to go with this. And we've had two different experiences, and now I think we're trying to figure out what makes the most sense, cost and efficiency-wise, and you have to balance those. But, again, thank you for coming, and thanks for, you know, being open about what you were doing last time. So those of us that were there got to see the whole process.
Well, that is the idea. I want to just tell you all something as well, which is, look, you know, we learned a lot first time around in this process. In terms of, we learned a lot about the organization. We learned a lot about, you know, what occurred, what should have occurred, and we learned a lot about what we would do next time in terms of trying to make this thing smoother and less costly. There are certain things that are going to be difficult because, you know, you've got a lot of tensions between how much you can spend versus versus getting, you know, more information into the hands of the voters. And, you know, the difference between the third class versus the first class postage is going to make a large difference in terms of how quickly things go out, but it's also going to be quite a bit more expensive, particularly because you're going to end up with these booklets again, which were quite heavy. I mean, the fat packages, I believe, were over 2 ounces. So, you know, I'm not sure that I'm necessarily going to jump to these are decisions that have to be made, and I would be happy to help make those decisions or at least help give you enough information. The next time around, however, I think the more organized, and I don't think there'd be any disagreement about this, which is the more organized we can be up front so that we know exactly what's going out and when, and so that we can get it done ahead of time so that we can, you know, have it in the right place at the right time, gee, it would make a huge difference. It would have made a huge difference last time, would make a huge difference this time. And, you know, the administration of the election was if you were working for one of the stations, it was pretty smooth. And Richard, I appreciate the comment. And, you know, we can do an open, honest, and extremely accurate election wherever we go. It's just a question of making sure that we get what we need when we need it, and get it out to into the field when it's supposed to get there.
Carolyn?
Yes.
This is Ted. I'd like to ask one more question.
All right, but we're running up against the time limit here, Ted. If you can,
it's
ask
quick.
It now go ahead.
Yes, Ted.
Yeah, this may be outside of your purview, but you have a lot of experience with this. A lot of us are going to be up for re-election, and we serve on this National Elections Committee.
Mm-hmm.
How do you address the perhaps conflict of interest based on your experience? When should we step down, if we should step down?
Well, this is one of the reasons that you have a third-party election administrator and that you have a national election supervisor and the local station board supervisors, or the local station supervisors. I'm not sure, in the sense that you, as a national board member, there is a certain amount of direction, I guess, that you can give the national supervisor, but really, as a practical matter, it is the national supervisor that is running it. So I'm not sure that there is that the extent to which there is a conflict of interest. I'd have to look at your bylaws. It's one of pardon me for giving you the lawyer answer, but I can't hide.
Thank you very much, John. That's a good answer. I think we do have to deal with that issue down the line somewhere. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming and for being so open about dealing with all of our questions.
It's my pleasure.
Greatly appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll have some follow-up questions for you at some point.
If you do, please let me know. I would be really happy to deal with them.
I certainly will. Thank you so much again, John.
All right. Thank you, folks. Goodbye.
Bye now. Well, I'm sure we do have. We should be putting some of these questions in writing, perhaps, for both of the elections companies. I will ask any objections to my taking upon myself to write and thanking John formally
mm-mm.
for the committee for having been here?
Oh, no. No, not for me.
I will certainly do that. All right. Now, we're going back to the motion. It was the first, or the very first order of business.
I do have one little question about what happens after this. Does he give us? Are we ask the other people to give us a proposal that was sort of broken down? Are we asking him to give us a proposal that's?
I don't believe we did ask for a proposal.
We asked for like a ballpark figure.
We postponed that, I think, until after this decision. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That would be next. We have to decide.
What we're going to ask them for. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All right, so getting back to
the ranch.
Back to the ranch.
In honor of Texas.
Now, I believe that we were on the second item. And
I like that.
Karine was going to give us a motion.
Nothing thought. Huh?
Or an amendment to that. Karine? Hello? Karine?
Carolyn?
Yes.
no, we were just going to...
Let's move
hello.
On, then. We have...
Hello?
The committee BB...
Hello, hello,
yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh.
Who is this?
This is Serene. Serene.
All right, we're waiting for your motion, Serene, the amendment.
Wait, your motion? I thought we...
An amendment to the motion.
We had an emotion. I mean, I don't know.
She wanted to amend it. She had objections to that, and as we left it, Richard suggested that she come back with an amendment to that.
No, that was not what I suggested.
No, I didn't think
you suggested
that. I just thought...
I suggested that it wasn't necessary, that that could be done after we decide to adopt it in terms of practical application.
Ah, all right. Well,
actually,
do you want to move to a vote for this, and then
are you planning to vote on the second part?
Yeah,
that
the second
correct.
Part.
Yes,
is where we left off. We were just about to, and then we got to quit.
I mean, I agree with Serene's concerns about privacy and so forth. I just think it doesn't need to be part of the main motion.
No, it actually is in the third section of the motion.
Right.
All right, let's read that and take a vote. That the committee shall create an additional listserv open to public subscription and posts to which committee files may be copied for public download and to which Pacifica members may post matters and documents which they believe deserve committee.
What's going on? I can't hear.
Are there any objections to that?
Is anyone else experiencing difficulty here?
Yeah,
I am too. There was a whooshy sound. It seems better now. I don't know.
Maybe a jet flew over Carolyn's house.
Not mine. You would have
heard
our
houses.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say.
Well, it doesn't hear it. I heard it.
Are there any objections to that? May we adopt that without objection?
I just have one point of clarification.
Mm-hmm.
The files that are going to be uploaded on there, are they also going to be the same ones uploaded on our private list? Just in case somebody hacks into there and plays with them and deletes them, whatever?
No.
What do you mean?
You said files
or plays with them where?
You said files could be... Can I finish? Files could be uploaded to this file from, you know, stuff we're doing. That's what I assumed that meant.
No, maybe copied. So if there were files that someone chose to copy...
Not confidential matters.
Right.
No
one could hack into our thing. Someone from our original list could copy a file to the new list. So nobody could hack into anything. It was just, you know, a member would...
I think these are details that I think you need to ask after... the list moderator or whoever's doing the work decides how to do that. Yes, Serene?
Yeah. Just to clarify, when you say, Terry wrote this, Terry's gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Terry? The Pacifica members may post matters and documents. So we're talking about people being able to post messages, not files.
Well, somebody said upload files, as I recall.
Well, no, I'm looking at the language, and that's how I'm asking.
You're right.
They're saying that committee files may be copied. Obviously, committee files can only be posted by committee members since they're the people who will have access to them.
Right. Yeah, thanks. You were saying it better than I did. I was trying to say that, but you're right.
That's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
All right, are there any objections to this? Do we need to take a vote? All right, may we adopt this without objection?
Okay.
And now we go on to the third section. Resolved that these listservs shall be established within 30 days after the adoption of this resolution, that the list owner and moderator will be chosen by the committee annually and serve at the pleasure of the committee until replaced by simple majority vote, and that all PNB elections committee members will be encouraged to subscribe and to contribute, including through their reposting of messages previously sent by committee
members. Carol, you're fading.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Including through their reposting of messages previously sent by committee members to others on the committee.
I have the amendment.
Yes, go ahead.
I would simply insert that... let's get back to the first one. Sorry, give me one second here. Where it says... Sorry, I'm juggling too many... documents. Okay, the language currently says, resolved, that these listservs shall be established within 30 days after the adoption of this resolution, that the list owner and moderator will be chosen by the committee annually and serve at the pleasure of the committee until replaced by a simple majority vote, and that all PNB election committee members will be encouraged to subscribe and to contribute, including through their reposting of messages previously sent by committee members to others on the committee. And I would, in fact, substitute that entirely for the following, which would task Mary, thank you for volunteering, to create a policy for committee approval, including but not limited to issues of anonymity, censorship, spamming, language, and topicality. And I actually want to thank Terry for sending me this language.
Wait a second. You got to go back.
I'll just send it to you.
Well, what are you voting
okay.
to
you
substitute?
To
where are you beginning the substitution, please?
Right. After the 30 days, that it'll be done within 30 days after the adoption of this resolution, and that the list donor, well, that person has already been determined, and that the committee's secretary shall craft, and I would then insert the language, shall craft a comprehensive statement on list policy for committee approval, including yada, yada, yada.
And you're going to send it, right? Because I
can't.
A comprehensive statement for list approval.
Can you send it now?
I'm going to send it to the group. Give me 1 minute to cut things.
And would you read the rest of it, please?
I'm sorry.
No,
a comprehensive statement
again.
On list. Well, I'm going to send it to you. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
A comprehensive statement on list policy for committee approval, including but not limited to issues of anonymity, censorship, spamming, language, and topicality.
Okay, she's going to send it. So.
Sounds
yes,
fine.
But we have listeners, and that's
well, when we get it, we can read it again.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll all have it.
Well, is there anyone who needs it read again before we can vote?
No.
A little slow.
I mean, sounds clear.
I was trying to write it, so I gave up on that. I got the general idea, I think.
Yeah.
All right. We want to vote on that as it's read.
We're voting on the amendment.
On the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Amendment is a substitute for everything following 30 days after the adoption of this resolution.
Okay.
So everything in there will be replaced by this substitute amendment. Who was that, please, who wanted to speak?
I'm sorry. Yes, I just want one thing clear, though, and that is that I don't want people to be able to go on as, you know, anonymous, because the problem is that this could possibly make it so that people would feel that by being able to cloak their identity that they would be able to, you know, pull all kinds of shenanigans. And I'd rather this be, I mean, if you're going to make a comment, I think people ought to, I don't want people's phone numbers or addresses. That's nobody's business as far as the listserv goes.
But
can I make a suggestion?
That comment's out of order, because we're going
to
deal with this passes.
Well, that is a question of policy, Melinda, and we'll come to that. So, yes, that is out of order.
It is? Isn't that part of the language that they'd be...
That was part of the language as I understood it.
That's what I thought I heard.
Well,
point of order. The language says we're going to make decisions about those things if we do this. That we're going to have to do that.
I'm just asking.
I didn't know it was illegal to ask.
Excuse me. I think one of the problems is that we're not dealing with a written document. Just one more time stream. Would you read the language again that begins after the word resolution?
Resolved that these listservs shall be established within 30 days after the adoption of this resolution, and that the committee's secretary shall craft a comprehensive statement on list policy for committee approval, including but not limited to issues of anonymity, censorship, spamming, language, and topicality. So, Melinda, you can certainly send your concern to Mary. You know, and she can perhaps incorporate it, or you can present it when we discuss it. But,
okay.
You know, I mean...
Yes, that's clear enough, I think. Are we ready to vote on this?
Yeah.
Okay, Mary, do you want to take a vote?
Okay.
On the amendment now.
Yeah.
Why don't you first just see if there's any objections.
Oh, okay.
Are there any objections to this?
No.
Yes.
But, I'm sorry.
Yes. Can you hear
someone
me?
Someone has an objection. Okay,
yes.
So we need to vote. Okay. So,
I'm sorry, before we vote?
Mm-hmm.
Melinda?
No.
No, I'm not calling to vote. This is Serene. Did you understand what I said about being able to address that concern later
sure.
when we actually look
yes.
at it? Okay.
Serene,
okay.
Sure, yes, we're taking a vote now. There was an objection, so Mary will have to...
Can I ask who objected?
Yeah, it's LaVard.
Okay.
I thought that was...
We never closed the debate officially, so I just want to know what your objection is.
Well, my objection is that the initial amendment that was read was pretty direct, pretty simple, and I think that this is just, I think that we just need to go ahead with the original. It was pretty simple, pretty clear-cut to me.
So you're objecting to the substitution?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
I just want to
speak to that?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it was, in fact, the maker of the motion himself who, before leaving, acknowledged that those were legitimate concerns, because we do have some people who have engaged in, you know, collecting people's personal information for use that could be controversial.
I think I'm going to speak to that point of personal privilege. Serene is referring to a list I set up 3 years ago called WBAI Elections, which had nothing to do with the LSB or any official body, and I asked people to identify themselves just to avoid the kind of spamming that we are afraid of. The parallel, I think it's a canard to mention that in connection with this list, which has a completely different animal here. I do think the one concern is the one that Mary raised, and that is that members be on this list and not non-members. I don't want to even go into further, except that I think it's totally irrelevant to mention that.
I have a point of information.
I'm not, by the way, concerned with this list. The secretary would be the owner of it, mm-hmm. and Terry has offered to moderate it.
You're being entirely too defensive. I have a point of information, please.
I object to the ad hominem remarks, Serene. If you could just keep to the
information,
I would appreciate
please.
It.
Please, may I ask my question?
You've been out of order. Now please ask your question.
How would you possibly determine who's a member of the station by their email address?
Hmm?
They would have
well,
to
that is
their
one of the things that we
check?
Will have to determine when we get a policy.
But you don't have to be a member
you're,
to...
You're suggesting that a policy be crafted that we discuss, and we're going to discuss that.
But if you don't have to be a member to attend a board meeting because
this
it's public,
not the
why
time,
is...
This is not the time to discuss that. This is not the time to discuss that.
You raised it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Point of information...
Let's vote.
Oh, yeah, I thought we were in a vote here.
Yes, we are.
Okay, are we back to having a vote? My pen ran out of ink while we were doing that last little bit. Hang on. Sorry, I need one more pen here. Okay. Now. So, Terry is not here, right? And we have...
How many people do we have at this time?
I think we should have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, unless someone besides Terry. Did anyone besides, well, of course...
We have that
Rob,
many people?
Rob.
Didn't Rob leave?
Yeah,
did
sure.
Rob leave?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 8 people. Okay. So, Patty. Patty? Well, she's not there. Okay, I'll come back to her. Okay, Melinda? Melinda.
As is, that's okay. I guess I'll vote yes.
Okay. This is on Serene's substitution. Richard?
I'll pass for a moment. I'm thinking
okay.
about it.
Okay. Rob is gone. LaVarne? Oh, you already
no.
said. Huh? You want no, right? Is that your vote?
I'm sorry?
You voted.
Did you hear me?
No.
You did not hear me say no?
I just wanted to confirm. That's what I thought I heard. I'm just trying to confirm it. Okay,
yeah.
A little bit
yeah, that was
okay, Carolyn?
I'm going to vote no.
Okay. I'm going to pass also for a minute. I don't know what I think exactly. Okay. Serene?
Yes.
Okay. Wendy? Wendy? Okay, she's not. Ted? Ted? Okay, let's see now. I called out Patty. Is she there? Okay.
Doesn't sound like it.
It that I don't hear her. Okay. Richard, you passed. Do you want to still pass and have another what?
I'm going to vote yes. I think we got to develop a policy sooner or later.
Okay. Let's see. Rob is gone. Carolyn voted. Let's see. Wendy. Did Wendy ever show up? And did Ted ever show up?
Yeah, I'll change my
vote. Oh, yeah, there
vote.
You are. You. That's right. You passed.
I'll change my pass to yes.
Okay. Carolyn, you voted. I didn't vote. Okay, I'll vote yes because we can. I'll vote yes. There's leeway in there. Okay. So, now, last call. Patty Heffley, are you with us? Wendy Schroll, are you with us? Okay. Then I guess there aren't that many of us. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yeses and 2 noes. Oh, wait. Wait a minute. Oh, no, that's right. That was me. It's 5 yeses and 2 noes, so it passes. Okay? Is anybody there to hear this? Hello?
All right. Now we're voting on the main motion. Okay. That was a substitute. The motion as amended was, do we have the printed text yet of the motion that just passed?
I don't know. I'm going to try to get my email. Did you send it yet, Serene?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I received it back, so.
Oh, that
means.
That
means. Okay, let's see.
Okay, let me. Is everyone busy getting their email? I am getting my email.
All right, so the motion.
And here it is. Okay.
Yes. You want to read it, Mary?
Resolved that these listservs shall be established within 30 days after the adoption of this resolution, comma, that the committee secretary shall craft a comprehensive statement on list policy for committee approval, comma, including but not limited to issues of anonymity, censorship, spamming, language, and topicality.
There really should have been an and.
There should have been an
and.
Can we insert the and after the word resolution? Does anyone object if we... It's Serene's motion. You suggested to put the and, right?
Yeah, well, it's grammatical. Just
right. So can we put the and?
Nobody's objecting.
Okay.
Let's make it sound decent.
I'm objecting to the one thing that was left out.
And if I understand...
Excuse me. Is the question of the list owner and moderator chosen by the committee annually and serve at the pleasure of the committee to replace by simple majority vote. There's no provision in this for that. And
point of information, I didn't know that was left out. I thought Serene just inserted the other language in the middle of it.
No, it was a replacement. Was it not, Serene, a substitution?
No, she just submitted.
Well, let's ask her.
I specifically said that it would go right after creating the additional listserv and the 30-day requirement.
But does it go? But does the rest of the language stay in, and the part that says, and the moderator will serve at the pleasure of the committee until replaced by a simple majority vote?
Well, if we agreed, I thought that it was perfectly reasonable that the secretary be the person responsible for the listserv, as is. Any secretary is now responsible.
No, Serene, I'm sorry. The question is,
okay, so what about the last part?
Is this a substitution or is this an insertion?
Wait a minute.
I mean, what about that last part? Election
point of order, please.
I read the motion as I intended it.
Okay,
and it was voted on.
Excuse me. Point of order here. Serene intended this as a substitution to go after the word resolution. And it replaces the entire rest of the motion. The rest of the motion does not exist in Serene's new motion. This is the motion in its entirety as Serene.
So then we don't have any statement as to how we deal with that part of it.
That is correct.
The way it was presented.
Richard and then Serene.
Okay. The way I interpreted when she said, I want to put this in after these words, I thought the other part was still there. Otherwise, I wouldn't have voted for it, because I don't want to get rid of that other part. I don't see them contradictory with each other.
but it covers a part that needs to be covered. And I didn't understand that that was, you know, but maybe we can correct this when we do the other rules thing.
Right.
All right, Serene, you were next.
Well, you know, a secretary and all offices for every committee is chosen every year anyway when the committee is reconstituted. So we will have a process by which to replace the person or provided if there's a problem. In the meantime, why would the person who is responsible for maintaining the records of the committee not be trusted to maintain an open listserv where listeners can be a part of the discussion? Certainly, if there's any question about the person's ability to do that, then they shouldn't be secretary. And clearly we have a secretary who has been very willing to do the work and volunteered to take on this extra task. No one's secretary for life.
So in fact, you did intend it to be a substitution, and I don't know.
I read
it misunderstood
as I intended.
That.
Mm-hmm. Three times.
All right. Any other comments on this,
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Ted, and there is one tiny part of this motion that should be eliminated, and it is the phrase "by simple majority vote." It should be eliminated and replaced with "by committee vote." The reason I would hope that Serene would accept this, or the maker of the motion would accept this as a friendly amendment. The reason that this is so pernicious is because if you have three people running, that language will create incredible confusion. I doubt it'll ever happen, but this kind of stupidity, pardon me, is what causes this organization to have absolute chaos later on down the line.
Ted, I think you may have missed the point that language has been, we are voting on a replacement of that language by Serene's new motion.
Right.
That language will not exist.
That language is no longer part of the motion,
right.
Ted.
Mm-hmm. Somebody has
Can I hear the motion restated one more time?
Okay. Now, are
Mary,
we,
you want to read it, or?
Yeah, we're voting. We voted on this. Now, I thought what we're voting on is the whole thing. All three. We accepted each part, and we accepted Serene's substitute motion. We just voted on that. It was passed without objection.
We have to vote on
it. No,
twice.
It was voted
the
on
substitution,
five to
and
two.
Then again.
Now we need to vote on the entire motion, which,
okay.
Mary, please read
which
it out
I will
loud.
Read.
And Ted, this is the new motion.
In
Wait a
entirety.
Minute. Point of order.
No, that's wrong.
If we divided this and voted on all three parts, we don't need to vote anymore.
No, we did not vote on the
point of order.
Complete part. We voted on the the part of the motion that follows the word resolution.
Yeah, but we did previously vote. We divided the motion into three parts. We passed all three parts.
No. Point of order, please.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
The motion was divided into three. We voted on the first two.
And then?
And we voted on the third. But when we got to the third part, we voted on my substitute. So we now need to simply reaffirm the substitute, if you will. Vote on the third part again. And Ted is asking that it be reread.
Okay, that's fine, because he wasn't clear and Richard wasn't. Let's do that. Okay, so here is the thing that we voted 5-2 on just now. Resolved that these listservs shall be established within 30 days after the adoption of this resolution, and that the committee secretary shall craft a comprehensive statement on list policy for committee approval, including but not limited to issues of anonymity, censorship, spamming, language, and topicality. Okay.
All right.
Now,
are there any objections to that?
It's already been voted on.
Yeah, we
so
voted
what's the point?
5-2.
Redundant.
Does everybody agree to that? All right, then. Let it stand.
Okay.